Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. You can follow me on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my absent co-host, Chris Thornton, at Misto Cristofo. He is still partying it up in New York, even though he can't really party because he's not 21 yet. He turns 21 on Wednesday, so sorry, buddy, that this trip just came a little bit short from when you could actually party. Your birthday is going to be fun, much like mine was today. I'm recording this Sunday night, fresh off of a Jaguars win. This will be posted Monday morning, so you're listening to this on a Monday, the first of many Victory Mondays, hopefully, for this Jacksonville Jaguars squad. But this Jaguars team did give me a pretty solid birthday present, and that is winning their season opener at MetLife Stadium against the New York Giants by a score of 20-15. I wouldn't necessarily call the game a nail biter. More is just, you know, there were some annoyances, some parts where you did get a little anxious throughout the game, but it was an ugly win. But a win nonetheless. The defense and the special teams really played a huge part in this win. Not as much the offense. The offense gave you a little bit of stuff to hang your hat on. Also some stuff they obviously need to improve going forward. So we're going to go over just how the game played out and some things they need to shake up going forward. And, you know, we'll just kind of dive right in. Jaguars won by a score of 20-15. They started off a little slow, both teams kicking a couple of field goals to get things really rolling. Nothing really happened too much until Blake Bortles connected with TJ Yeldon on a one-yard touchdown pass in the second quarter. Yeldon getting a lot of playing time at that point on because Leonard Fournette did exit the game with a hamstring injury. Took a while for the team to rule him out. He originally was questionable from about middle of the second quarter through kind of the end of the third is when they officially ruled him out. And I guess you could consider that to be a positive note because it took so long to decide whether he should go in or not. Obviously, they seemed concerned at the time with his hamstring. He was seen on the sidelines having to lay down and really get stretched out. He said after the game to Josina Anderson, a reporter for ESPN, that he'd be fine next week and that he'll be playing. If it were anything too serious, I'm sure they would have just ruled him out immediately. Much like Marquise Lee during the preseason, it took not very long at all to rule him out for the rest of the game. So just looking for the positives. He was off to a really great start, actually. He had 9 carries for 41 yards. He looked quicker as advertised during the preseason. He looked much quicker. He was still just as powerful as he's been before. There were a couple of plays where he just did not shy away from contact. He would lower his shoulder and try and run people over. So despite it being a little limited due to his injury, we did see a good amount of what we wanted to see out of Leonard Fournette, and hopefully he can come back, be totally fine going forward from this hamstring injury. Quarterback Blake Bortles was up and down throughout the day. Threw a bad pick to Janoris Jenkins, just completely underthrew his receiver Dante Moncrief on the sideline. He threw a couple of different fade passes throughout the game that were significantly underthrown that I think they need to try and eliminate from this playbook until they can find someone that really can go up and contest for the ball. Maybe that be Austin Seferian Jenkins, I'm not sure, but Bortles is leaving a lot off the field there. On those balls, they just weren't getting to the receivers, and defenders were able to go up and make plays. I'm shocked there wasn't another interception or two. There was a near interception on, I believe it was the second fade pass. Another attempt at Moncrief, it just wasn't really working out. There were some plays that Bortles did make, though, that looked really great. Notably, he had a 41-yard run in, I think it was the third quarter. That gave the running game a little bit of electricity after Fournette had gone out. That moved Bortles somewhere into like the top 5 quarterbacks of all time in yards per carry or something along those lines. Fox came up with a stat on it, and you had the names of Mike Vick up there to go along with him. So that should tell you that it's a pretty impressive stat. had some really nice throws. There was a right out the gate to Keelan Cole. There was this deep ball. I think he went about 30 some yards. Just beautifully placed, beautiful catch, beautiful route run. That's the type of stuff you want to see in this connection from Bortles to the second year former undrafted free agent receiver in Keelan Cole. Otherwise, the offense really didn't do a ton. There are definitely some glimmers of hope going forward. You want to see more out of Fournette when he's healthy. You want to see Bortles become a little more consistent and eliminate some of the bad throws that he did leave out there on the field, like the ones to Moncrief, those fade routes, stuff like that. But there's a lot of stuff they're going to have to work on. The offensive line had a bit of a shaky day, a lot of penalties. It's something we're going to get into a little later. Cam Robinson didn't have a great game, and he had three penalties himself. Andrew Norwell missed a couple of blocks here and there. He had a couple of plays that were notable as well in the run game, especially for Norwell. But all in all, the left side of the line was kind of shaky. It's some stuff that they're just going to have to work on going forward. They weren't playing the toughest front four that they'll face during the entire season. So definitely a lot of stuff they're going to have to do. A lot of room for improvement. However, they were able to get the job done. What was most important was the performance by the defense and the special teams, which we will get to right after this break. So the Jaguars defense, as well as a late play by their special teams, truly did it for this team as things started to go New York's way. Most notably, the play of the game had to have gone to Miles Jack, who had 10 tackles on the day, as well as a defended pass, but he recorded an interception. It came on a play where Yannick Ngakoue forced very quick pressure on Eli Manning, going against right tackle, and quite frankly, an embarrassment to offensive linemen around the league. Eric Flowers, who was just having a terrible day, just Ngakoue left him in a whirlwind. He went on spin cycle and fell to the ground. Ngakoue got in Manning's face, forced him into a crowded pocket where he dumped the ball off to Barkley. The ball got tipped before it could get to Barkley by defensive lineman Avery Jones, fell right into Miles Jack's breadbasket, and he was able to return it for a touchdown to put the Jaguars at 20 points on the day in the fourth quarter. Not a play that any NFL referee could ever possibly rule Miles Jack down, unlike the last meaningful game that the Jaguars played in. He returned that one for 6 points, and it was a great play all in all. The secondary looked great. They were keeping their men really tied up, not able to get open quick enough for Manning to throw a ball to. Pass rush got home very quickly. The linebackers were able to, you know, contain underneath, and Jack was able to come up with the big play. And I think that was truly the momentum that they needed, because they were starting to lose it after Fournette had gone down and they weren't able to get anything going on offense. There were a couple of plays coming from guys like Barry Church making a big-time pass breakup, Tashaun Gibson and DJ Hayden making big-time pass breakups, Hayden especially coming on a late play when the Giants were starting to move the ball but got stuck on fourth down. Hayden was targeted on a one-on-one matchup, and he stayed as tight as could be on his man. I believe it was Evan Engram or Sterling Shepard, one of those two guys. Hayden was able to stick to him, break up the pass, and get the Jaguars the ball, stopping the Giants from driving down and making it an even tighter game. Laurentian McCray had the Jaguars' first sack of 2018, and as everyone's saying, just as everyone predicted, McCray, the backup defensive end and special teamer, making the first sack. But he had one. Calais Campbell had one as well, and I'm pretty sure that was it. Yeah, they only had two sacks on the day. However, the pass rush, even though they didn't have nearly as many sacks as they did in last year's opener, 10 against the Houston Texans, they were able to get pressure home throughout the day. And I mean, obviously that defense is going to get tired when the offense can't get anything going, and you can kind of see that. There were times where the guys looked kind of gassed. There were a couple of plays later on where in the matchup everyone was looking for Jalen Ramsey and Odell Beckham. In man coverage, Jalen did a pretty good job. The stat that was floating around was that he held OBJ to 3 receptions for, I think, 52 yards when they were in man coverage. So all in all, a really good day. You know, he wasn't going to be able to stop everything, because OBJ is a great receiver, able to really be shaky, create some separation on routes, even against the best of the best, Jalen Ramsey in this case being on that level of play. But to hold OBJ to that stat line and not make him a key contributor in this Giants offense was something that he can definitely hang his hat on. And all in all, I think that you know, took away a huge element of this Giants offense. They had to rely on Barkley, who, other than his 68-yard touchdown run, something along those lines, did not have a good day. You take that carry away from him, and he's at 17 carries for, I am literally doing the math right now, I think 38 yards? 17 carries for 38 yards, just over 2 yards per carry. It wasn't a good day for the rookie running back. Don't let his final stat line of 18 carries for 108 yards, nearly 6 yards per carry, and a touchdown fool you, because this Jaguars defense did keep him in check. There are a couple of missed tackles on that play that I don't think the Jaguars will have much of a problem with going forward. They should be able to eliminate that, in which case, like I said, you take that away and it's a totally different ballgame for this Jaguars run defense. So, you know, we'll see just how they correct that going forward. But all in all, I think the defense had a really great day. To finish off the game, the Giants were going to get the ball back with about 50 seconds. Pinned somewhere in their 20-yard line because the Jaguars had the ball at about midfield when they punted it. And they had about 50 seconds to drive the field. But DJ Chark, the rookie wide receiver and second-year linebacker and special team, you know, extraordinaire linebacker Donald Payne, made a big play. Chark came down and put some quick pressure as the gunner on the punt returner. Can't even remember his name. They were saying he was a dude that just got picked up recently. I think, I found it now. Kalen Clay. He was the punt returner for the New York Giants. Chark came down and put some pressure on him quickly. He didn't call his fair catch. Ball muffed out of his hands, and Donald Payne picked it up, put the Jaguars near, I think it was around the 10-yard line, and that the Jaguars just took a knee on two plays following that up, and that was the end of the game there. So, all in all, you know, like I said, this is the Jaguars for you. They may not get a lot done on offense, especially when a guy like Fournette isn't there, but their defense can do enough to keep them in and win games. And we will talk about just how, you know, this gives us kind of a basis for the regular season when we come back from this break. So we have to expect that Leonard Fournette will be back soon. As he said after the game, he plans on being back. He should be ready to go next week when he was talking to reporter Josina Anderson. And that's great because the Jaguars need him back. Obviously, the offense just came to a complete stall. When he wasn't on the field, Bortles started to lose a lot of the flow that he had going early in the game. TJ Yeldon wasn't able to get things done. They barely gave Corey Grant the ball. He had 1 carry for 3 yards. They were just truly missing that feature back that they're planning this entire offense around in Fournette, so they need to get him back quicker. Obviously, when he's back, the offensive line is going to need to gel a little bit more, eliminate the dumb penalties, the false starts, the holdings. There was a personal foul on Cam Robinson. They need to eliminate being dumb out there on the field. And I think that's something that they'll be able to do. Obviously, the head coach of the team is a former offensive lineman and offensive line coach. So I think he'll have a big say-so in, you know, the discipline of the offensive line going forward, because that was a weak spot today, both in terms of, you know, actual play and the penalties that they caused. So definitely something they need to work on. As a whole, the team had, I believe it was 11 penalties for 119 yards, whereas they ran for 137 yards. So when you, you know, factor, do a little net on how much yardage they had on the run game to penalties, they only had 28 yards on top of their passing game. So that's something they need to eliminate now. They need to get rid of the dumb penalties, and there were plenty of them. There were some that certainly should have gone their way in terms of penalties not getting called on the Giants, but at the end of the day, there's not much you can do about that. All the Jaguars can do is focus on the penalties they committed and get out of that funk. But now we'll look forward to New England. Hopefully Fournette will be back, because that'll be a huge part of their game plan to go and beat New England, is to have Fournette back and take the pressure off of Bortles. Because once the pressure was on him today against some guys that aren't that great at pass rushing, they didn't have Olivier Vernon there to rush the passer. They're going to need to be able to figure out some type of plan, because I think the Patriots do offer a bit more pass rush than this Giants team did today. And I'm sure we'll be breaking down all those matchups as the week goes on. When Chris gets back, we'll have him on for some podcasts. We're going to do a crossover with Locked On Patriots. Our buddy Mark Schofield over there, we'll be sure to catch up with him and give you guys the content that you need in that crossover Wednesday episode, which you guys can check out on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere you're listening right now, anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find us. So be sure to check us out there. Be sure to subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review. Also, check out the Locked On Jaguars website at LockedOnJaguars.com for all of our articles. We've got some guys putting out some great work over there. Demetrius Harvey has done a lot of great work in the past couple of days, getting a lot of different stuff out. He's consistently getting our injury reports out. Any breaking news, game recaps, he's getting it to you real quick. So be sure to check that out. If you're looking for breaking news, he's got your back. We got a lot of analysis coming this week from this past game, a lot of fantasy content. So be sure to check that all out, and we will catch up with you guys as the week goes on. Go Jaguars.